On today's Part in My Take, we have Bill Burr in studio. Awesome conversation with him, caring too much about sports. Deep dive into conspiracy theories. Maybe a little, listen, if you're going to listen to this episode, which I know you are, just
you're already listening.
Look
to it
into
right
it. Look into some things and also
just
watch
connect
your
the dots.
Six.
Just
watch
connect
your
the
six.
Dots.
Just make sure no one follows you home after listening to this episode today. We also have Hot Seat Cool Throne, Guys on Chicks, and some NBA preview. Yeah, I said it. NBA preview. Before we get to all of that, though, we have WWE 2K19. It is out. Get your WWE 2K19 now. It's over $100 in value. You can access to pre-order bonus characters Ronda Rousey and Rey Mysterio. It includes a WWE 2K19 season pass, access to Woo! Edition, bonus digital content including Roddy Piper, Big Evil, Undertaker, Ricky Steamboat, Macho Man Randy Savage, and Dusty Rhodes RIP, playable characters plus Starrcade 83 Arena. Ooh, that is sounds awesome. And you got a lot more going on. You can do the My Career. You can experience high-stake matches, talk smack to your opponents, and shape your My Player's career path as you strategize your way to WWE glory. A new way to play, the all-new 2K Towers. Take your favorite WWE superstar or My Player into any tower with a gauntlet of matches that boast panic-inducing challenges, incredible stipulations, mind-blowing rule changes, and dynamic difficulty. It is all there, and there is a massive playable roster. They got all the guys and girls you want to play with. Andre the Giant's in there. Stone Cold Steve Austin's in there. The Rock. You name it, it's in there. And you got to check it out right now. WWE 2K19. Engage in the action through jaw-dropping graphics, heart-pounding excitement, and thousands of new gameplay animations that enable you to experience WWE at premium level. Get it right now. You can either buy it in a store or you can visit WWE.2K.com. Okay, let's go.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports. Today is Wednesday, October 17th, and PFT, as I sit here before you right now, I will say it, Skip Bayless is my Lord and Savior.
He is back in a big way. He was a week late after missing Crossbar's 0-for-5 performance last week.
I need him.
But on this Monday night game, he was in rare form after it was over. Crosby hit his two major kicks at the end of the game. Well, he had one that was like, what, 54 yards?
Yeah,
he
actually kind of recovered.
And
yep.
Then he hit the game winner, obviously, at the very end. And then Skip did not disappoint.
So Aaron Rodgers did his usual thing. I mean, that it's almost becoming boring. I'll say this. I'll even put on my Skip Bayless hat. It's boring how predictable Aaron Rodgers is.
Mm-hmm.
How he, like, you know, toys around with the team. He limps around. He's like, oh, my knee. Oh, wow, I'm just throwing dimes to everyone and winning games late. By the way, just going to throw this out there. More career fourth quarter comebacks, Aaron Rodgers or Jay Cutler? Oh, the answer is Jay Cutler. But that's neither here nor there.
That's because Jay Cutler fell behind a
lot
in games.
No.
It's easy to have a lot of comebacks when you throw four interceptions in the first half.
Skip Bayless had this to say after the game, and I love him. He said, amusing how quickly he actually went off on a lot of shit.
Oh, yeah.
I got to catch up here. So he said, wow, Aaron Rodgers finally managed to beat C.J. Beathard and the 28th-ranked defense. Aaron Rodgers is in the same league with the reigning MVP, threw for 182 yards in the fourth quarter last night to beat the NFL's hottest team. He's talking about Patrick Mahomes. Amusing how quickly most people forget Aaron Rodgers is 5-6 in the postseason since his long, long ago Super Bowl. Should be 4-7 because Dez caught it. Tom Brady, he is not. Also, that's wrong, his statistics there, because if he lost that game, then you can't count the next four. He went from 5-6 to 4-7.
That's how it works.
No.
Because you take away a win, and that win is a loss instead.
Yeah, but then the next going into that game, doesn't.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm right. So okay. Apologize.
Okay. He should be 4-6.
Apologize.
I'm sorry.
And then finished. Mason Crosbar allowed Aaron Rodgers to escape Dak Prescott with two of the strangest, luckiest field goals ever kicked, a 56-yard slice that barely greased over the crossbar, and a 51-yard duck hook that somehow straightened back out. Dak has outplayed A-Rodge all three times. Mm-hmm. Fuck yes. No, but seriously, Aaron Rodgers is pretty damn good.
Yeah, and I think he's neglecting to mention that the reason they got in position to make that field goal at the very end that magically duck hooked back.
No, that's details we don't need
to get because probably it was the best throw of all time that I've ever seen.
Aaron Rodgers, he's
not as good as Dak Prescott. We can all agree on that.
He covers up a lot of shit that the Green Bay Packers have going on, but he is, I mean, it's, like I said, it's predictable. He will win a game late, and he will do it in dramatic fashion, and he will drop dimes and all that. I'm sick of it. I think America's sick of it, to be honest, if I'm just going to speak for America here.
We do get sick of winning pretty easily in America.
Yeah, it's gross. But the big story is Jason Witten, the robot. He got a little ahead over his skis there, tried to start throwing out some cliches, and couldn't quite get it. The robot has not learned, like, you know, little colloquialisms. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, so, yeah, he's still adapting and learning these new things, and that's funny. Like, Big Cat just gave a little wink there because
Hank was shocked. He was like, what the hell? He was like, huh?
Listen, yeah, English language is filled with all these, like, little idioms and phrases that don't make sense if you're learning the language for a new time, either as a foreigner or as a binary computer system. So he's going to catch up eventually, but he said Aaron Rodgers pulled a rabbit out of his head.
Yes,
on that one.
And he also said, he said the Packers keep kicking themselves in the foot.
Yeah, well, that's. Have you ever kicked yourself in the foot?
It hurts.
You can trip yourself. That's all that is.
It hurts.
Just tripping yourself.
It hurts.
So yeah, the rabbit. I guess my theory on this is that maybe the rabbit is the one that was causing Aaron Rodgers to speak with a southern accent after every game.
Yeah, he's the pills.
And well, after this game. He did it too.
Yeah, he really thinks he's a gunslinger.
We just got a good team out there.
He's a Southern California boy.
Mm-hmm. You know what he's doing?
I think he's NorCal.
He's trying to appeal to Danica Patrick because she's been around NASCAR drivers her whole life. So
true.
Yeah
Rubbin's racing. Mm-hmm. Do it. We also had the Booger Mobile in, like you said, the snot rocket because it was cold, and the picture showing how basically people in the front row are fucked all night long when the snot rocket comes rolling. They have a TV in the back of it.
Well, I'd rather watch the behind of the snot rocket than the game.
It's more tough stuff going on there. It's tough if you pay for a ticket and then you're facing, you know, the snot rocket the entire game.
I have a suggestion for improvement for Monday Night Football.
Okay.
One, either put them both on the snot rocket at the same time.
Like we said, the king of the raft.
Yeah, the king of the raft.
Fight off.
Or put Booger on a horse and just have him like trotting
like
up
too.
And down the side. And I'm pretty sure Booger doesn't know how to ride a horse.
No. Most people don't.
Yeah, but it'd be funny to watch him learn as he goes.
I agree. I like that. I also saw Ryan Glassbeagle, who does a good job with the big lead. I only read the headline.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't read the article.
It was a well-written headline.
I think his point was, and he might tell me I was wrong, but I think it was a good article. I actually know it was a good article because he's a good writer, but he basically said that Jason Witten is in place to mend the ESPN-NFL relationship.
Why?
Which makes sense.
Because Witten is just like a poster boy for the NFL?
Yeah, pretty much. And so they're like, they put him in there, and it doesn't really matter if he's bad for the audience. It just matters that the rest of the owners and Roger Goodell likes him.
Well, he's a warm body.
And that might not be his take whatsoever. I just read the headline.
Yeah, but he's not a guy that's going to like fly off the cuff and start saying controversial shit.
Correct.
The most controversial thing he'll ever say is like, you know, I don't know if I would have made that throw.
Right.
That's about it. That's as far over the line as
Or
Jason
just
Winston
talk over. Over Booger McFarland.
Yeah, hey Booger, shut the fuck up real quick and let me finish my thought about tight end blocking.
Yeah, pretty much. So I actually agree with that take. And if it wasn't the take, well, then credit me for the take.
Did you see at the end of the game, Clay Matthews had a sack and he landed with at least 95% of his body weight on C.J. Beathard.
Call it.
The refs are getting bullied.
Call it.
By the blogosphere and the Twitter sphere into not calling the game by the rules. I would have liked to see him get penalized for
that. The pussification of the refs pussifying the NFL.
They're getting double cucked is what's happening.
Yeah, that's it right there.
And I don't like it. Vontaze Burfict got all the heat because his elbow, he accidentally elbowed Antonio Brown in the head. I mean, he's just wrong. His elbows are in the wrong place at the wrong time. Yes. I don't think you can fault him for that. But Clay Matthews, with what he's doing with his body weight to these quarterbacks, is seriously jeopardizing the future of the NFL.
I agree. I just want everyone to say everything's being ruined because everyone's becoming big time like babies.
Yes.
That's my favorite take ever.
It's actually kind of a cool conversation to have.
What?
About like all these flags ruining the game.
Yeah.
Because it tells you that you're still watching the games.
Oh, yeah.
If you're complaining about
the game. I hate this show that I watch every week.
The only time you will actually get mad about this is if it's your team that's getting flagged.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's another team that's getting flagged, you love it.
And guess what? That's how sports have worked since the beginning of time.
That's right.
Everyone's out to get your team.
Yeah. So I don't even know who the wide receivers Aaron Rodgers was throwing to. There was a guy named Valtrex Scantling.
Yeah, exactly. Davante Adams is still out there.
Davante Adams is there. He's still good.
Yeah.
But they're just signing guys like that got cut by the Patriots.
And
basically,
they're all good.
Yeah.
They're all Aaron Rodgers makes them good.
He's like cologne. He's like a really nice bottle of cologne.
You're a cologne guy?
On a guy that didn't shower. No, I'm a shower guy.
Okay.
Actually, I'm a bath guy. I read Greeny's book in the bath. Yikes. We all know that.
Okay. You do like the baths, huh?
I do.
Yeah. Bath bombs?
You like the bath.
I don't do bath bombs.
Do you fart in the tub?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You kidding me?
You do.
I'm an Epsom salt guy in the bath.
Oh, wow.
Because it's squat.
Loosen up those joints?
It's squat-tober.
Yeah.
Do bath farts smell as bad as shower farts?
No, because it gets filtered out of the water. It's like a bong for your farts.
Yeah.
So by the time the gas gets up,
gravity bong.
It hits smooth.
Fart gravity bong.
Yep.
We should hit a gravity bong. I haven't done that in fucking forever.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than the best part about a gravity bong is making it and being like, oh, mm-hmm. Here we go, boys.
Yeah.
Like,
let's
do
pot.
It.
Yeah. And then you take one hit and you go lay down for 2 weeks.
I never want to smoke again.
Yeah.
This is the worst thing ever. I'm in a fucking chamber of my nightmares.
Yeah. The other cool thing from that game was, I think this was the first game where we got the steaming, heavy breathing faces.
Oh, yeah.
From the players where the
steam look like horses.
Comes out of the face mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love cold weather football.
It's great. Mm-hmm. When both lines are just breathing as heavy as possible, like a nice 10-yard drive mm-hmm. in cold weather, nothing better.
And Kyle Shanahan was out there looking like a BMX biker.
Yep.
Looking
good like, coach. Wait. Damn good coach to even be in that game.
They should have introduced him at the start instead of just having like his face and the standard like team photo. He should just put his arms out and what he's wearing and spun around like in Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Ooh, I like that.
That's the Kyle Shanahan intro I need.
All right, we also have some baseball. So the Red Sox are now up 2-1. The Brewers are up 2-1. We don't know what happened in the late game because it started at 9 o'clock.
Prediction.
Brewers won.
I think actually Rich Hill pitched a gem.
Brew crew.
Rich Hill is like that guy. He'll just pop up and be like, oh, here's a fucking one hitter out of nowhere. Rich Hill.
Tough.
Yeah.
I have his bobblehead from when we went to the game.
So the two biggest stories, though.
I threw mine in the trash.
Well, actually, we're going to get to the Astros possibly cheating in segments.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers, though. The question has to be asked, are the Dodgers even trying? Because did you see the quotes that came from the Dodgers after Game 3? So we had two quotes. The first was Manny Machado. He had been criticized for not running out a grounder in Game 2. And he said, obviously, I'm not going to change. I'm not the type of player that's going to be Johnny Hustle and run down the line and slide to first base and, you know, whatever can happen. That's just not my personality. That's not my cup of tea. That's not who I am.
Manny great being Manny.
Great quote.
There's something about Manny's.
Yeah, just being like, you know what? Nah. I'm not going to run it out.
Yeah, if your name's Manny, you better not be acting like a boy. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, and then we had the Dodgers catcher. So he has been benched for Austin Barnes, but Yasmani Grandel had a bunch of pass balls. And he said, I think it's driving you guys nuts more than it's driving me. I blocked 8 balls in the dirt today, and the one ball kicks off the plate. I think any person in baseball understands what it is to be able to block a ball like that. I don't really hear the noise outside. So basically saying, you fans care way more than I do. Toughen up.
Yeah. Also, I think there's an element of if you're a catcher – and you get benched, you're probably a little relieved. Because being a catcher must suck.
Sucks.
It's basically torture for about 3 hours when you're out there.
Especially in the playoffs when it's like, okay, if a ball passes by here and a guy's on base, I'm basically going to be blamed for everything.
Yeah,
and that's every pitch.
You're just kneeling and you're getting drilled with balls all the time.
Yep.
That doesn't sound like my idea of a good time.
But if there ever is, you know, a fracas that starts, you can do the grab the batter from the back.
The first man
in.
That's
a fucking
badass
move.
Third man in, yeah.
Grabbing him before he gets to the pitcher, that's a real catcher.
Yep.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to go low? Do they have rules about that?
What do you mean?
Like, will you get suspended more if you just dive at the knees, or if you land on the pitcher, or if you land on the batter with your body weight?
You just got to pick him up from the nuts.
Well, what was like the guy's Jason name who kicked the guy in the face?
Carl Everett.
No.
Oh, in the minors.
Yes.
That was Carl Everett.
Yeah. Well, no.
That was not Carl.
No. It was a guy who, I'm going to have to search it. It was a guy who literally drop kick a guy in the face.
This was like an E-Bombs World video, Hank.
Yes,
it was a little bit
exactly.
Before your time.
In face. I'm searching his bad radio. Izzy Alcantara. He kicked the, he was like, I'm going to go for the pitcher, but first I got to take care of the catcher. And before the catcher could even flinch, he drop kicked him in the face, then went for the pitcher.
Yeah. The other epidemic we're seeing in the playoffs is Joe West getting hit by stuff.
Yes.
And heaven forbid it happens again.
God forbid.
But he got drilled, obviously, with that throw from the catcher in, what was that, game two?
Mm-hmm.
No, that wasn't game two. That was
Game one. They all blend together.
Yeah, they blend. This is postseason. No one can keep track. There's too many rounds in the postseason. And then today he got hit with a bat.
Yes.
Because he was standing too close to the batter.
God forbid.
And God forbid he gets hit with a fastball.
God forbid.
Just right in his dick.
The other thing that I loved, the Astros fan. Did you see the Astro fan that was just wearing a full-on space helmet?
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to that guy.
Yeah.
To watch a full entire game in a tinted space helmet just for the look, just to set the vibe on in an 8-2 blowout loss. That's a nice look.
Also, Nolan Ryan in the front row. Nolan Ryan has looked like he's 80 years old for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, how old is he, like 65?
Sure.
But he looks like he's, I would actually, if I had a death pool, I would put him ahead of Lasorda.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hard Texas living.
He drinks a lot of Lone Star.
Never had a kale salad in his life.
Well, no, he's accidentally eaten a piece of kale at the Pizza Hut buffet.
Yeah.
And then he spat it out, and then he threatened to sue.
Yeah, he bought the place and burned it to the ground.
He has his own line of steaks. I don't know if you know that about Nolan Ryan. He's a big steak guy. I'm pretty sure he only eats his steaks.
I like that.
Raw.
Yeah, it's Texas living.
Hard living.
All right.
He can still kick Robin Ventura's ass.
Yes, absolutely. Before we get to Hot Seat Cool Throne, the NBA is back, so we might as well do some NBA over-unders. I have two, and I also have a prediction. I think, you ready for this? I have the Golden State Warriors winning it all.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Going out on a limb. Okay. And Hank is staring daggers through me.
No.
Hank, do you want to do a couple predictions? Because I have a couple over-unders for people.
What do you got?
I have the Bucks over 48.5. I think the Bucks are going to be very good. I think they'll win the Central. I think Giannis is going to – do you see he shoots threes now?
Mm-hmm.
And I – listen, I'm not a hard guy to figure out.
If he gets hurt, though, they're fucked.
If someone – if there's a buzz about someone adding something to their game and then you have a couple video – like little video proof of it in preseason, I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, Giannis shoots threes now. He'll probably be better than Steph Curry. And then I also have the Lakers over 47.5.
Okay.
I feel like LeBron will win 50 games.
You know they're going to hit that midseason stress, though, that where they lose.
Doesn't
where
matter.
They start losing, but that team is going to just, like, collapse for, like, half the season.
I just think there's no way that, like, and I just
like,
don't.
It's great.
I think Brandon Ingram is very, very good, and I just, LeBron's going to win 50 games.
But they're trying to do their thing where they're all, like, buddy-buddy best friends in the beginning of the season, and once, like, they hit that adversity, they're gonna collapse.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Once LeVar Ball gets in the mix and he has to go dad-to-dad with LeBron.
True.
I think there's
going to be, like, a seven-game,
eight-game
losing streak.
Yeah.
Oh, back, really?
Ooh,
you think they're going to have
closed
a little,
door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Players only.
I think there's a reason LeVar hasn't said anything.
LeVar and LeBron, players only meeting.
You're right. He has been a little bit too quiet.
I think LeBron's
about
to blow up.
You think he's on the Bron payroll?
I think LeBron gave him the, like, keep your mouth shut or Lonzo's gone.
Also, you see LeBron post a
practice video
and an Instagram where his daughter wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
Oh, my God.
Very, very. So we got wine-drinking kids and non-seatbelt wearing kids.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
He's basically the new Kennedy family. All right, so I've got my
so
over at the Dallas Mavericks. I'm taking the over on 34.5.
Ooh,
and
Dirk, I think, is out for a little bit.
I don't care about Dirk.
Okay. Doncic. Yeah, true. Luka.
I am going on this based solely on the fact that they hired that guy who's a really good gambler to run their analytics department.
Harold Bob.
Yeah, I forget the guy's name.
Yeah, Harold
I don't know.
Bob.
I don't know anything about him, but I do know that Mark Cuban likes him and that he beat Vegas. And so if you can beat Vegas, then
I never believe that shit,
but
okay.
If you can beat Vegas, then you can beat the Clippers.
Yeah, I call bullshit on anyone who beats Vegas.
Nah,
it just doesn't happen.
It happens.
The people who beat Vegas, they never say they beat Vegas. They stay under the radar forever.
And they keep beating Vegas.
Yes, exactly. You don't one day be like, hey, I beat Vegas, guys. No, those guys don't exist.
Listen, I don't think Mark Cuban's the kind of guy that would get lied to by his own employees.
Ooh,
so I'm going over 34 and a
layers
half.
To that one, folks.
Big time. I'm also going over 32 on the Brooklyn Nets. Because they're really shitty at tanking.
And they might get Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, they might get Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, there
right.
you go.
That's right. So
I like that.
I'm going to sprinkle it on Jimmy's teams. The Nets, the Knicks, and the Clippers are all getting a little sprinkle, a little tinkling.
Hank, what do you like?
I have the under 76ers, 53.5.
That's just a pure hate,
just hate
like,
no,
bias.
No way
hate.
They all stay healthy. Embiid's probably going to get injured
okay.
Markelle for like
Fultz
75
is back,
games. Markelle
yeah.
Fultz
Please
is
comment.
Get injured.
Hank, I've noticed that you haven't commented on Markelle Fultz's improved shooting performance.
Not worried about it. We got the better pick of that draft.
Thank you for commenting.
Oh, you play for the team?
Yeah, I do.
You got a mouse in your pocket? Who's we?
Under Timberwolves 42. It seems high for a team that's completely falling apart at the seams.
42?
Yeah.
I think they'll still get that, but yeah, okay. That's going to be right there.
And the over Suns 29.
Oh, I like that.
Really? I mean,
what's the Bulls over under?
Jamal
Do you
Crawford.
Have it in front of you?
Yeah, they did beat the New Zealand Breakers, so
true.
They are a powerhouse.
True.
30.5.
That's right on.
Yeah.
That's exactly like they're going to win 30 or 31 game. Yeah. Yeah,
you know what? I'm also going to take the over on the Wizards. I think that Wall.
The Zards?
I think that Wall and Beal and Dwight Howard are going to have great chemistry.
They're
yeah.
big three.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
I'm actually more interested in figuring out like what small minor thing is going to drive that team apart because it's going to be something stupid. It's not going to be something cool like a card game.
I don't know if it's going to be small and minor. I can tell you right now, it's going to be 7 feet, and his name's Dwight Howard.
Right.
Yeah. So I wish we could bet that he like does the over under of when John Wall takes a swing at Dwight Howard. January 4th.
Yeah, I'd say it's way earlier than that.
Yeah, way earlier.
Yeah.
Way earlier. All right. We'll have more NBA. We're going to get some of our NBA guests back on in the next couple weeks.
Dwight Howard's going to like bring in cookies that he made at home for the team, and Wall's going to like only eat half of his.
Yeah.
And Dwight's going to be like, hey, I noticed you didn't finish your cookie. And Wall's going to be like, fuck off. And then it's going to get into a fight. Mm. That's going to end. He's going to bring back the old Zards where they pull guns on each other.
It's going to be like that story that went viral, the kid, like the 6-year-old who brought in cookies with her grandmother's ashes cooked into them.
Yeah, that's
which is actually a baller move.
That is a baller
move.
He's
just like, hey, now my grandmother just is part of you.
Dwight Howard sees John Wall with a gun and he pulls out his gun, but it's just the gun from Duck Hunt.
Yeah, no, it's a gun. It's a gun that just in a little flag that says bang. He's like, haha, get it, guys.
That's a joke,
Joker. All right, hot seat, cool throne. We got to start. We're on the hot seat collectively because we missed the mark on when the subscription service is coming. So it's not coming today.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming sometime in the next few weeks. We will be sure to tell you. Now, I know some people freaked out, even though we definitely said do not freak out. Mm-hmm. And we'll say it again, do not freak out. But just to clarify, this is something that has been given to us from up high. We are employees after all. We've been told that the subscription service is coming, and what we want to do is make it the best thing possible for anyone who chooses, and it is a choice, if they would like to subscribe or not, to the paywall. But listen, again, nothing we are doing that you get for free right now will be behind a paywall. We're not doing guests behind a paywall.
Nope.
It's not going to be like, oh, my God, we got this big get,
You're not losing anything.
You're not losing anything.
I just came up
you're
with
gaining.
A great idea for money laundering.
What?
Why don't we like take any money that we need to clean and just buy a shit ton of subscriptions to our own service?
I like that.
Yeah, okay. Let's think about that one later. By the way,
we don't have access.
Yeah,
we don't get the
and we don't
money.
Make, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
There's a loophole there that we don't get the money.
All right.
Okay, well, we'll figure it out. Yeah,
out.
We'll figure it out. But again, it's coming. We will be fully transparent with you. And more than anything, I've said this a couple times on different programs, but I'll say it here. We take it very seriously. We know that if you are going to pay money for something, we want to deliver something great for you. So we are putting thought, we're putting time into it.
We're adding stuff to it in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, we're adding stuff to
it. To make it more worth your while right when you sign up.
We're also making sure that we do not promise anything that we cannot deliver. So we are not going to tell you like, oh, hey, we're going to do this. It's not going to be like, hey, we're going to join a cult, and then we never joined a cult.
It's not going to be like, hey, we've got this new cool thing coming on Wednesday, and then we have to go back later and say it's not coming.
Right.
That's not what we're going to do with this.
So off to a good start, hot seat us. If you have any questions, please tweet them at Hank. He will answer all questions on Twitter. all right, Hank, you start. Hot seat, cool throne.
My hot seat is American cheese.
Okay.
Yes.
Go on.
A new report came out that said millennials are destroying American cheese.
Okay. Like they're eating a ton of it.
Like Burger
King. They're just absolutely smashing it.
Wendy's is substituting American cheese for Asiago. Different people are voting to choose different types of cheese instead of American cheese. So American cheese is losing.
All right. Here's my take. You ready?
Yes.
American cheese on a breakfast taco is the best type of cheese. Here's what we need to do. We need to start eating more breakfast tacos in America.
I still am a cheddar guy. So American cheese out?
It's on the down.
Okay.
That's very sad for America.
It's on the hot seat.
Yeah, I've always been a cheddar guy, so I actually don't think I've had any part in this.
That's pretty fucked up.
Well, yeah. No, I wasn't an American cheese guy, then became a cheddar guy. I've been a cheddar guy since birth.
So you're even worse.
No, so they've never counted me towards the American cheese group.
Yeah, but you're still a customer that they haven't reached.
No, this is a taste thing.
It's more like the Wendy's, like on a burger, they would be like, it comes with American cheese, but now they're having an Asiago substitute. A&W in Canada switched from American to real cheddar.
I don't like that.
Also, Asiago is such a... that just sounds fancy. It's not that much... What is it?
Yeah, it's just white American cheese.
Yeah, fuck that.
So, hey, what's up with Canada being allowed to eat American cheese in the first place? That was that's just a clerical error we took care of.
I don't eat that trash Canadian bacon.
Yeah. It was an accident. They were lucky they even got to taste it.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
All right. Cool Throne?
Sorry. Cool Throne is Take On Me remixes.
Yeah.
So, this new hot thing that someone came up with. It's taking... Take On Me song and then adding a different song.
You sound a little triggered.
Combined, no, not triggered at all. It's like, I saw it on the internet. It was like the funniest thing ever.
So people mad. Always ask,
someone
like,
tweeted
so
it, got
mad.
Like 100,000 retweets. I was happy for that person.
It was
like,
a pretty fire remix.
Yeah.
Can we hear it at the end of today's show?
We'll see.
People ask a lot, like, Hank, what
I've heard better.
They
I'll
say
that.
They say, what does Hank do? He presses record and then he presses stop at the end. And while that's mostly true, what he really does, probably for 90% of his day, is just create Take On Me mashups.
But he didn't create the one that got 100,000 retweets?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I did not create that one. It was all right.
It was bullshit when I saw it. I was like, hey, what the fuck? We've had this for so long.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm just, I'm happy. I'm happy someone else is getting the recognition.
Listen,
good.
It will just make the Take On Me remix market like it's going to be flooded.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm going to copy and paste that. I might, whatever the tweet said, it was like, I might have come up with the worst or best idea ever. And I'm just going to tweet that every day until I get 100,000.
Just do the Mr. Portnoy one. That'll be just as viral.
Mm. I miss Hank being woke on Twitter. You need to the phantom retweets, the viral tweets.
I gave up. I can't do it.
Can't find the algorithm.
You know what the new hotness is? Is just an attractive girl taking a picture of her and then saying, what are you thinking about right now?
Yeah.
And then everybody just replies.
Or like, what's worse than heartbreak?
What's your biggest fear?
Yeah. Tell me something about you.
Yeah.
And then you get quote
treated
a million times.
Can we take a picture of me wearing like a bikini top and long hair from behind? And I'll just like kind of turn my head to the side. So, hey, maybe I'm a girl. And then we'll try to get that going.
I don't know if you got the. I don't know if you're thick enough to.
That sounds like someone hasn't been doing Squattober.
I'm plenty thick.
Oh, all right, PFT.
Somebody have some salt baths. My hot seat is Josh Allen. So Josh Allen is out potentially for like a month. I don't know if you saw the video of him getting his elbow checked out on
UCL.
The sidelines. Yeah, it's a Tommy John. It's a Tommy John ligament.
Flamethrowers get that.
Yeah, so when you got a rocket arm, sometimes your rocket's going to be Apollo 11, and sometimes it's going to be Apollo 13, or the Challenger.
Don't say the
or
Challenger.
Apollo
Jesus
1.
Christ.
Okay, Apollo 1.
That happened on January 30th. You know that?
On your birthday?
Yeah.
What did you? It must have been something you did.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it did. I might have made that up.
Yeah, you probably did. But it's like when Bo Jackson's legs, when his hip gave out because his muscles were
too
strong.
Why are you wishing these horrible things?
No, I'm explaining.
You're like, Josh Allen's the Challenger and Bo Jackson.
It's not it's not his fault. His arm was too strong that his ligaments couldn't support all the muscle.
So land this plane.
The good news is he doesn't need Tommy John surgery.
Okay.
So he'll be back this year. And the better news is his backups are Nathan Peterman and Derek Anderson. So
Derek Anderson's going to get. I saw that report that it was like Sean McDermott's going to lose the locker room if he starts Nathan Peterman.
Yes. Yeah.
What does Nathan Peterman have on Sean McDermott?
I think they're both God guys.
It's bizarre that he keeps trying him out there.
Yes.
I actually kind of feel bad for Nathan Peterman.
Yes.
Not bad enough to not want him to start and throw interceptions.
I say they just platoon him. They do like a wildcat offense with Nathan Peterman and with Derek Anderson.
I like it.
You don't know whether to pair for interception to the right side of the field or the left side of the field.
Yeah, or they could, or if you're the Bills, listen up, Bills, you should trade for Brock Osweiler because the Bears play the Bills in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, just pass him around. He's the Bears specialist. I like that. My cool throne is, well, let's see. I'm going to go with democracy.
Oh, that's a heavy one.
Democracy,
sir.
In general,
sir,
on the cool throne, because Deborah Reno, a.k.a. Misty Crocker, is running for city council out in Wyoming, and somebody found a bunch of nudes of her online.
Uh-oh.
And she was making a living not only as a yoga instructor and a massage therapist, but also earning some side income selling her worn panties. So she,
is that wrong?
No. Well, it's not, because they tried to get her to drop out, and she says, I cannot quit.
Yeah.
I don't know if she was talking about I can't quit selling panties or she can't quit running, but she says she's still running.
She should just run on a, like, ultra-capitalism campaign. Be like, hey, listen, you guys love capitalism. Guess what selling panties is? Supply and demand at its finest.
Exactly. And so, yeah, this actually might be good for her, because, I mean, what other Wyoming city council member is in the news?
We're not talking
Do
about
Do they have city councils in Wyoming? I just thought
Who
it was
knows?
Like... Whoever, whichever, like, goat was standing at the top of the highest hill in that town was the mayor.
No, whoever can free climb Yosemite or whatever the hell it is. That's in Wyoming.
Yellowstone.
Right? Is that in Yellowstone?
Yellowstone's up there. Yeah,
it's around there.
It's up there. So it's democracy there. Is on my cool throne.
By the way, RIP. This is not related, but rest in peace, Dennis Hoff. Did you see he died?
Yeah, the owner and proprietor of the Bunny Ranch in Las Vegas.
And also in the second line of his the story about his death, it was like Dennis Hoff, owner of the Bunny Ranch, where Lamar Odom went into a coma. Uh-huh. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one to have that linked to you.
Uh-huh.
But I guess that kind of, you know, it plays.
Probably helped business, to
be
honest.
It does. I mean, listen, if you can put a guy in a coma, that's probably a place that parties hard.
He died as he lives, laying on his back.
There we go. Well, I feel like he was probably, he tried a lot of positions.
That's probably an understatement.
He was probably all over the place. All right, my hot seat is the Marlins swag. I don't know if you guys saw, but the statue in center field, gone. Mm-hmm. Derek Jeter has taken all the fun out of the Marlins. It is terrible. He excommunicated Marlins man. He sold off Giancarlo Stanton. He sold off Christian Yelich. And now the statue is gone, and no one will ever know the Marlins hit a home run that they hit a home run, because there won't be that fish that goes around and around.
Yeah. What are they going to do with it?
I don't know.
I feel like you have to sell it, right?
I'd love to buy it. It's almost like the Seinfeld, the Kramer, when he buys the set.
They should melt it down and then put, like, a piece of it into trading cards.
Yeah, or a piece of it underneath home plate.
Yeah, bury it, create a new monument park.
I like that.
For all the shitty marketing ideas.
But this is just Derek Jeter. He's going to make everyone shave. He's making them the Yankees. They're the Marlins, dude. Chill out.
Yeah, and by the way, Derek Jeter, just hurry up and get fat already.
Yeah.
You're halfway there.
You already look like a penis.
Just go for it.
Yeah,
just
do it.
Turn from a penis into a chode.
All right, I got two cool thrones. The first one is Round Ball Rock. Did you guys hear the Kawhi Round Ball Rock mashup? It was unbelievable. Let's put it in right here. Round Ball Rock is maybe the greatest song of all time.
Yes. Like, at least. That's an understatement.
Yes. And Kawhi, his robot laugh, getting remixed. It's remix season, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
First the take on me, now this.
You know how, like, we bury time capsules and we plant things
Well, that's
on,
just classic NBA
we bury shit. Yeah. Yeah.
True.
We bury shit on the moon in case aliens discover us and they can know about our... Well, that's actually just from Starship Troopers, I think.
Yeah.
But we do
Good
bury...
Movie.
Yeah, great movie.
Tits in that movie.
A lot, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the shower.
I remember that because I was like... 10.
Yeah. First boob. You remember that segment?
Yep. That one's a little flat.
Yeah. So if we were to make a time capsule for, like, rock and roll.
God damn it. That was bad
in the United States, Round Ball Rock should be in there.
Yes. Without a doubt. Great, great, great song. And then my other cool throne is Gronk. Gronk is all the way back. I know there was a.
Oh, Kelce Jr.
What? Oh, Kelce Jr.
I didn't know
yeah.
for a second who you were talking
about. Yeah, Kelce Jr. Gronk, you know, there's been, you know, the trade stuff. Maybe some injuries, whatever. This is when you know Gronk is back. He had an Instagram story that was a picture of himself and Tom Brady after the game on Sunday night. And it said, it's a quote, it's a made-up quote from Tom Brady talking to Gronk. And it says, Rob, I just want to kiss you. You catch all my balls. That's pretty fucking good.
Yeah,
that means,
true.
I mean, that's the peak of Gronk humor.
Uh-huh.
So he is back. He's feeling it.
I love it. Yeah.
All right. Let's do our interview with Bill Burr. Awesome interview. Seriously awesome interview. Very fun to have him in there. And you got to check him out, Madison Square Garden, on November 7th. We will be there. But we'll be in the green room, so you probably won't be able to see us. But we will be there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You promised it to him, so I guess I have to do it now.
November 7th.
If it's a Sunday, I'm not going to be there.
Yeah, fuck. All right, we'll figure that out later. That's a future.
Actually, you know what? I'm not allowed to go, and neither is Hank.
Oh, yeah, true.
We are banned from Madison Square Garden.
Banned.
We're the bad boys of the dog show.
Banned forever. All right, before we get to Bill Burr, the Cash App, you already know the Cash App is the number one finance app on the App Store. What you might not know is that you can also put Cash App in your wallet with the Cash Card. It's the only debit card that offers instant rewards and comes packed with premium features not even a credit card can offer, like Boosts. Listen, if you're in college and don't take advantage of Boosts, what are you doing? Save up to 10% instantly at Whole Foods, Chipotle, Wendy's, Panda Express, or Chick-fil-A, and more of your favorite spots, or even $1 off every coffee, including Starbucks. The Cash Card puts you in control of your money with extra in-app safety features that let you pause your card with a touch. Unlike a credit card, there are no fees ever, and a credit check isn't required to get one. Download the Cash App now. Get your Cash Card for free. Visit the App Store or Google Play Market. And, yes, we are still giving away free money every episode. Tweet your cash tag to @PartOfMyTake and let us know what you owe for your degenerate sports bets, and the Cash App will hook some of you up. A true win-win. So download the Cash App and get your Cash Card now. We are also brought to you by FanDuel. PFT and I have been playing on FanDuel all season long. We're running a 16-week season-long contest with a leaderboard, and the winner at the end of the season will win a trip to the Barstool Super Bowl party and a spot in PFT's bed. Don't worry if you missed a week, because only your top 8 scores count, so you can play whenever you want, and you can still join us in Atlanta. Not only that, but places 2 through 50 will win an autographed PMT car stick, and we're going to be giving out cool weekly prizes too. Week 4, we're giving away something from my pile. I think we gave away a starter jacket. Is that right? Yeah, we gave away a starter jacket. Let's give away a hat and a shirt. A hat and a shirt from my pile. Week 7 coming up. So sign up at FanDuel.com/PMT to play with us. We both missed the money this week, PFT, as you know. And your lineup, you had Jameis Winston and Todd Gurley. And then you had Hayden Hurst, who had 0 points.
Yikes.
Yikes.
That's a Max Williams town.
But here is the good news. You beat me. Ooh. So I suck at this. But so you can basically – I'm basically a the mark in the room. You can come in, play in the FanDuel PMT every single week and be like, guess what? I'll at least beat Big Cat.
You're the Jerry O'Connell of our FanDuel.
Yeah,
league.
Pretty much.
I
so
like it, yeah.
PFT's up 4-2 on me in the season, and you got to check it out, FanDuel.com/PMT. We're going to be playing all season long. We need everyone to come play with us. Please come play with us. If you don't give FanDuel a shot, you're pretty much saying you don't want to hang out with us at the Super Bowl. And new users get a $20 bonus when they make their first deposit on FanDuel. Come play with us at FanDuel.com/PMT. That is FanDuel.com/PMT. Bonus not available for withdrawal. State and age restrictions apply. For full eligibility rules and terms and conditions, go to FanDuel.com. Okay, here he is, Bill Burr. Okay, we now welcome on in studio our friend Bill Burr. He's going to be at MSG November 7th.
Yes,
so
sir.
So coming up, and we got a little special for everyone. First 100 people to get 10% off their tickets with promo code Billy Barstool. This is a promo code that you can only hear here, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so go to Ticketmaster right now, November 7th, MSG. That's going to be awesome.
Is this your first time playing the Garden?
No, this is the second time. This is the first time I'm doing it in the round, so it's more tickets.
Okay. So you got like 70
so I gotta
more.
Do this promo.
Yeah, how many times do you have to play until they raise your name up in the rafters like Billy Joel?
Oh, yeah. You have to make those people a lot more money than I'm going to make them.
Yes. But we're going to go. We'll be there.
Oh, all right.
I'm excited.
Okay.
Do we get to go in the green room?
Yeah.
That was definitely not. And then as soon as security guard be like, Bill doesn't fucking know.
No,
you.
No, I don't give
here.
A shit. I actually, you know, some people don't like people talking to him beforehand. I actually enjoy it because I try not to be thinking of anything when I go out there. And then I just start talking and then it comes out how it's going to come out. But if I'm just sitting back there, like, you know, thinking about it, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, if I was ever on death row, I'd want a bunch of people back there just shooting the shit going, dude, that's what you're going to wear when you're going to die, you fucking jerk off?
Yeah, don't be thinking about it.
Yeah, fuck you. Look at your glasses. And just, and be, all right, we're zapping me now? Okay.
Yeah.
So, wait, you don't memorize your stuff?
I'm not saying I go out and wing the whole thing.
Yeah, I know that. But I'm just saying, like, you.
Dude, that was such a fucking, like, I almost, like, passed out trying to do the math on that question.
You don't
memorize your stuff.
But you just said.
I'm thinking, like, okay, well, I don't write it down.
You go out there and you shoot the shit.
I write on stage is how I do it.
It's, as you go?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how I put it together. I mean, I'm not going to write on stage when I'm doing Madison Square Garden. I'm going to be going to go with the winners that night.
Yep.
But I'll definitely be, like, winging some shit. And like, because I have to, how my brain works, I have to do that so then I'm present like I am here. And I tried to do the writing it all down, memorizing it, and always doing it in the same order. And I just felt my brain would drift off to, like, God, I got 5 more shows in this fucking club. And, you know, why did I bring all these CDs? Nobody's buying them. And I would be thinking that as the shit is just rolling out, and it would affect the quality of the show. So, it's a little fly by the seat of your pants.
Do you ever think about, for these bigger venues, doing like maybe an Andrew Dice Clay where the fans can finish the punchline for you?
Oh, that?
That would be good.
Well, what I loved about, because I saw him, one of the first comics I saw him in the Worcester Centrum, like, 30 years ago. I just found the t-shirt. And what I loved about him was he gave you what you wanted, and then after everybody yelled out the punchline, he goes, "Great, I see you done your homework. But like you, I've also been working." And then he would come out with all these new ones and just fucking, it was, you know, that was, I saw some big guys in the 80s. I saw Eddie Murphy on the Raw tour. He came at Great Woods. He had the purple suit. I saw Rodney Dangerfield the week before that, same place. And he was coming off Back to School. So
great movie.
Yep. And then I saw Dice. And then that was enough for me. I was like, I think I want to do this.
Yeah, hell
this
yeah.
This looks like a lot of fun.
Have you seen Star Is Born with Dice Man in it?
I haven't. I heard it's great.
He's in it?
He's in it. I didn't realize it was him until like halfway through. I was like, holy shit, that's the Dice Man. He played.
My wife saw Star Is Born.
He's really good at it.
Called me, right? I was just telling the story to the other guys there. Right before I was going on the stage, Boston Garden, she called me. I thought she was calling me to say that she loved me. And she called up in tears, and I thought something happened to our kid. I was like, everything? No. I just saw Star Is Born. It was so good.
Yeah, it is good.
I have yet to see it, so I'm
happy she saw it without me.
Yeah.
Because I would have ruined it.
Yeah.
No, I would have enjoyed it because Dice and Chappelle are in it and stuff. I love seeing when comics get, like, you know, dramatic roles and they actually let us act and shit. But I have a bad track record with her going to see a Lady Gaga event. My Patriots had just lost in the playoffs to the Ravens, and I was a good six-pack in, and I agreed to take her to go see Lady Gaga at the Staples Center. And it wasn't as much as a concert as it was more of like a self-help sort of vibe, mm-hmm. like just to be who you are and blah, 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 blah. And they just kept, you know, "I don't give a fuck," and "Be who the fuck you are. John, do you give a fuck? I don't give a fuck." And I don't remember this because I continued drinking. At one point, I guess I went, "Jesus fucking Christ." I remember doing it once. She goes, "You said it like 9 times." I just remember she came riding out on this horse at one point.
Yep.
And all the crowd was going crazy. I just remember feeling really bad for the horse.
Yeah.
Like it's on fucking tour.
It's in the Staples Center.
You know what I mean? It gets paraded out. All these fucking people showing their tits and shit as this thing's just walking around. He wants to be on a field fucking another horse, right? Yeah. Or getting banged. I don't know if it was a filly.
But that's actually a good segue because I wanted to bring this up.
Horses fucking each other?
No, you're not the horses fucking part.
You ever seen Equus?
Not the horses fucking part. The part about, you know, going straight from a playoff loss to a concert and being in a sour mood. Because you told a story on your Monday podcast, everyone can go download it right now, about a sports fan that you saw at a bar over the weekend on Sunday night going absolutely insane that he got kicked out of the bar. So it's a two-part question. Well, you can actually – why don't you tell a little bit about the guy? But also, I've wrestled with this question. When, as sports fans, we're all diehard sports fans, do you stop letting sports, like, affect your mood and make you a shitty person?
Oh, yeah. I had that, like when I was watching Kimbrel trying to close out the Yankees, I was just like, why do I give a fuck?
Right.
I said in 04, I didn't ever need – anything else ever to happen again. And evidently it's not true.
Right.
The void is still there. I'm still going to fucking sit here and die 1,000 deaths. I remember in 2004 when the Yankees won the first 3 games and won like 19 to whatever, I was psyched. I was like, great. Put us out of our misery. 2 behind the ear, nice and quick. For once, we're not going to go right to the last fucking out and fuck the whole thing up. And I was going to be a nice, quick, easy death, right? And when we won it that year, I thought it was going to be over. And it isn't. It's just going to be this lifelong thing. Like right now, like I'm trying to enjoy all this Patriots shit because Brady, Belichick's almost 70, and this is going to be bad when these guys leave.
Right.
Real bad.
You're going to go back to what it's like for every other fan in the NFL.
Yeah, it's going to go back to. So anyways, I didn't understand. I knew that people fucking hated the Patriots and were sick of us winning, but this fucking guy was just like, at first he was yelling, you know, we were up like 24 to something, you know, 24 to 6 or whatever. He was just going like, this is fucking bullshit, fucking these fucking resident fucking Pittsburgh game, fucking, you know, and then he would shut up a few, and then he'd start yelling some more, and then they started coming back, and he was just going like, yeah, that's right, this is what it is now, this is what it is now, you fucking get used to it, you guys are fucking over, it's over. Yeah, yelling. It's just like, wow, this fucking guy is nuts. And then it just started. It stopped being reacting to plays, and it just was just. He was just
all his anger.
It was just on.
Yeah.
It was an open spigot, and as the Patriots, of course, are getting pass interference calls and stuff, he's like, every fucking time, and everybody in this bar fucking knows it. Like he to that level.
Yeah.
He said, and everybody knows it. And then he was just screaming, and it actually got quiet in the bar. Like, we were like his kids, and he was yelling at our mom, and we were just waiting for the ride to be over. And then it was so cool. The bouncer just came in. I guess he had gotten a couple of warnings, like the umpire.
Yeah,
gave him a bench warning.
Right.
He came in and just tapped the guy on the shoulder, telling me how to leave. He never stopped yelling. He put his jacket on. He never got violent, and he yelled the whole way out. I tried to get the slow clap going. It was like, it was awesome. It was like how much he cared, and I just wished I could have been that person, the first person that walked past him on the side of the street, like not knowing what he was yelling about, just thinking he was a crazy person who lived on the street. It's like, no, this guy pays taxes. He actually has shelter. He's reacting to sports.
It's just sports. And when you told that story, I was like, man, that guy sounds crazy. And then I remembered not 2 days before when you were at the Michigan-Wisconsin game. I was also there. We tried to meet up at halftime a hilarious, like, you were in the stands being like, I'm waving my arms. And I was in the concourse being like, I'm waving my arms.
Yeah.
Like,
we're in the big house.
Idiots.
There's 150,000 people.
The biggest stadium in America.
Like, I don't see you, Bill. He's like, I don't see you either. I'm waving my arms. We were just not
seeing
each
other. I don't remember that phone
call. Yeah.
I remember the texting and then, like, kind of like another quarter later, go, wait, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Wasn't I texting Big K?
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? But anyway, I walked out of the stadium. So Wisconsin went on 3rd and 3, they passed, and they punted from Michigan's 43. And I left the game not far after that, and I was just screaming, that's chicken shit football. You can't fucking win with chicken shit football. They're fucking cowards. I'm done. And I, like, it dawned on me because I was laughing at your story, being like, that guy sounds crazy. And then we're like, wait, I am that guy.
Yeah.
Like, we're all that guy. Yeah. At some point or, like, one point or another, whether it's on your couch, whether it's at the game, whether it's at a bar, you just let sports kind of, like, take over and all your anger of life just comes
out.
It's
kind of nice. It's like therapy.
Yeah.
Without having to pay, like, an expensive bill, you just go to a bar, get drunk, and you yell at strangers on television.
Yeah.
My favorite line ever, and everybody in here knows it, is, like, I just loved him saying, like, this conspiracy that he had, like, built up. And I've been that guy. I remember when the Bruins could never beat the Canadians or the Red Sox could never beat the fucking Yankees. And it was just always some bullshit, like, you know, Reggie Jackson in that rundown leaning into the ball. Mm-hmm. And they just don't see it. It's like wrestling. You know, the guy takes out the foreign object. They just don't fucking see it. And I don't know, man. It's like to finally be on the other side of it. Like, I don't know how long this run is going to last. But like the Celtics are looking good. The Bruins are solid.
We have to live with Dave, so you don't have to.
Yeah,
do
well,
the
thing is, like,
we have to live with Dave.
Dave does it to us every day. Yeah, they're all Boston fans here for the most part.
I don't talk shit. I never do.
Dave talks shit. Yeah,
but I'm convinced that Boston fans, they don't feel joy when they win. It's more.
I think that makes you feel better about your position
in
life.
One relief, and two, it's that they feel.
Why
they feel good?
Joy when you win.
Yes, but they feel good that everybody else feels bad.
Are people from Boston humans?
Just like being known as a winner. You don't actually like winning, and you don't enjoy winning. You like everybody else being a loser.
Okay. Does that make you feel better?
It does.
That makes no sense.
It makes 100% sense because you guys are desensitized to winning all the time. You've had such a good run in the last, like, 14 years.
No, if you saw me flipping out watching Kimbrel pitch trying to close out the Yankees.
You were afraid of losing.
Yeah.
No, because I want to win.
Okay. What was the last? So do you actually celebrate a win?
Yeah, I did a ridiculous dance when we closed them out. Yeah, your whole argument is just off the table.
I think I know where PFT's argument is coming from.
Around these guys enough.
No, it's Dave. Dave screws up everything because Dave's entire, like, half of his personality is built off the Patriots. Like, if you're like, hey, what are your likes?
Right.
Like, what are your hobbies? It's like, the Patriots winning is my hobby.
A pie chart?
Yeah, right. So his, like, personality is who he is.
I'm not speaking for anybody else, but no. I get a tremendous amount of joy. Like, dude, when I was sitting in a sports bar and the Patriots beat Kansas City and we beat the Astros in game two, it was just – and we just beat the Yankees. It was like, this is like one of the great sports weeks of my life. And I was trying to take it in, and then I got to watch that guy screaming and yelling. And then also, like, I had empathy for him. It's like, dude, I've been there, dude.
Yeah.
When I was living here, you know, when I first came here, you guys were fucking like 2 years old. Like, all my friends were comedians and Yankee fans. So not only were they Yankee fans, and there was the 1918 Curse of the Babe shit, they were fucking hilarious. And the amount of shit that I took. So I understand, like, you know, the Aaron Boone thing, which is a funny thing with Yankee fans where they think the Aaron Boone thing is like this soul-crushing thing to bring up. And the thing is, we won it the way we won it the next year, it didn't have time to take root.
And they didn't win it.
Yeah.
And they lost to the Marlins.
But they still were still able to continue chanting 1918 and all that shit. And like, but it just didn't take, it just, it has to be like, that's one of those things where it takes like 5 years for that to settle in.
Right.
And your team doesn't get another opportunity. Like, I remember in 88, I was working in a warehouse, or 89. And I remember it just fucking dawned on me. I was like, how the fuck did Buckner not stop that ball?
Like 2 years later.
Like,
yeah,
I could have stopped that with my fucking barefoot. It was three years later.
Yeah.
And I was unloading a pallet of shit. And I just started thinking about it. And I was just like, we were fucking one strike away. All this bullshit would have been fucking over. That stupid fucking Bob Stanley. And I just started thinking. So like that stuff is like it's like when you go through like emotional trauma.
It's delayed. It's a delayed effect.
It's a delayed thing.
You're like, I'm not cut, and then like 2 weeks later you're like, holy shit, I have a gaping wound right here.
Yeah.
What the hell
But
happened?
Winning is immediate. It's fucking euphoria. And it's awesome.
So are you, the other thing you talked about is football and basically becoming like 7-on-7 flag football. Are you worried about the future of football with like, it's all offense now, which I think is not a bad thing.
Dude, that last Super Bowl, that Patriots versus the Eagles, that was like the most, I don't even know what the fuck I watched. It was just like, there was one defensive play the whole game and then that won the game.
Yeah.
It was just like, dude, Tom Brady threw for over 500 yards and lost a Super Bowl.
No
one's ever going to break that record unless, I guess if it continues to go this way. But I loved, you know, the doomsday defense, the steel curtain, those great Raider teams, the Bears 46 defense. Like, those guys, they just shut you the fuck down was incredible. And the intimidation. You see those, you know, Lambert throwing a guy in the ground and then fucking pointing at him and stuff. And it's just like, it's just all gone. And like, I mean, that the fucking guy number 10, I keep forgetting his name, for Kansas City,
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, so fast. The fact that he was killing us the whole game.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, they're gonna throw it to it, and he's
just faster than everyone though. Like, he looked like he was going in fast motion. Everyone else was in cement.
There was nobody there.
Yeah, but so I
they just released the guy. He runs across the middle of the field, looking back at the quarterback. Nobody's gonna hit him.
Yeah.
Back in the day, he had to have a head on a swivel. He went 80 yards. Nobody even touched him. Yeah, I didn't think he got bumped at the line.
They told the safety, stand 5 yards behind him. Don't let him get past you. And the safety did that. And then Tyreek Hill just ran directly past him. He was 5 yards faster than him from like 30
yards. On any level, was it terrible defense?
Yeah. So did you like watching
it? On any level, was that terrible defense?
But that was a fun game to watch though, right?
No, if not as a football fan.
I agree with you.
It was like watching, like, it was almost like there was two fucking teenagers playing Madden football, except using real people. So it was like, you know, I like, you know, defenses. As much as I, you know, the rivalry with Patriots in Seattle, like, I didn't like the Seahawks, but like that Legion of Boom and everything, they were fun to watch, and just watching them shut down one of the great things in football is watching a ridiculously great cornerback, like that whole part of the field is just.
Or a pass
no
rusher.
Man's line.
I actually agree with you. Like, I love scoring. I think that's obviously a ton of fun. But there is a point, and it happened again on Monday night with the Packers and the 49ers, that first quarter, where it's like, this isn't, they're not even getting close to stopping these guys. It's bam, bam, bam down the field. And I think rooting for a good defense is weirdly, and this might be just my sick brain, is weirdly more fun than rooting for a good offense. When your defense, when you're like, I can't wait for our defense to get back on the field and just suck the will out of the other team, there's something special about that. It's like having an ace pitcher who can shut down the other team. So can I sell you on Big Ten football? I think you need to start watching more Big Ten football, where all they do is play defense, run the ball, and punt the ball.
No, I always watched Big Ten growing up because I had family in Ohio and Michigan. So I would always watch that stuff. And those games, you know, they would Michigan game would be on a lot. Ohio State was on a lot. And, of course, Notre Dame, you know, they were independent back then. But I got into SEC football just because I started touring in the South. And the people were fucking hilarious. And they were storytellers. And I just – and the level of seriousness that they take. And for a lot of them, a lot of those cities that I went to, they didn't even have a pro team. So their college team was the thing. And I was just like, you know, I came from a pro sports town. So if you had a 60,000 seat stadium back in the day, that was impressive. And these fucking people had like 100,000 and it was sold out and there's a band playing. Everybody's going nuts and just generations and generations. And like that, if you ever listened to the highlights, what was it? Is it Feinbaum? That guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
When
that radio show was just in Alabama, if you can find clips of that,
Phyllis calling in
and people, oh my god!
I mean,
how seriously they taken it just and like
you're Harvey Updike,
the dude that poisoned the trees.
Poisoned the trees. That's the bar guy on steroids.
And then his excuse, I guess I just got too much Bama in me,
yeah.
Which was a quote he took from an Alabama player when I think it was an Auburn player was running a kickoff back and he was on the sidelines. And he just ran out and tackled the guy, just stuck him. And like, why did you do that? That was his excuse.
I
just got too much Bama in me.
That's amazing. No, you know, the best way to find out about like Southern football is my favorite thing is every year when they have the Iron Bowl, Alabama versus Auburn, and they do the free ticket giveaway. And every single year they catch everyone who's delinquent on their child support payments by saying, come down to this store and get free tickets. And they just bust it's like every year.
I can't resist.
It could be tickets this year. Who knows?
Wow.
I haven't paid for my child support in 10 years, but this year could be the year where I get to go to the Iron Bowl.
That's a bucket list game that I want to go to, but it's on Thanksgiving weekend.
Yep.
And I got the kid. I can't do that.
What's your favorite college stadium? Because I know we talked to you when you were last on about your favorite pro stadiums. You've been to
a
million
stadiums. The Big House is amazing. LSU Stadium is incredible. The Swamp. There's some stuff you just seen it on TV so much. Yeah. So like when they have that I wanted to get my seats. I didn't get them, but I wanted to be down near where that little wall thing says "Welcome to the Swamp."
Yes.
And I was always interested because they never pulled back. I'm like, how is this stadium designed that there aren't seats there? That there's just this wall, selfie wall that they kind of have there.
I got a dark horse for you.
What's that?
University of Washington. Right on the lake.
No, we were talking about going to that.
That's a really nice one. You got Mount Rainier in the background. You can sailgate. You go out on a boat, and then
you can sailgate.
Yeah,
you drink on the boat.
You go on a boat, and then the University of Washington rowing team will actually row out to you and take you back in and like drop you off at the stadium.
How do I get a boat?
You can do that at Tennessee too.
I went to Tennessee. I didn't know you could. How do I get a boat?
You just have to know somebody with a boat. I don't know how boats work. Like I've never.
Oh, that's fucking going down.
Sailgating though, yeah. That's awesome. Remember when Hank and I went down for the Tampa Bay Lightning Blackhawks Stanley Cup, there were like rows and rows of people just tailgating on their boats, and they just walk right in the stadium.
Oh my God. That's life.
That's living right there.
All right, so here's the best games I went to. I went to the Red River game in the Cotton Bowl. I went to Notre Dame for Notre Dame USC.
The stadium in Notre Dame is cool. The tailgate scene is very subdued.
Yeah.
It's a lot of old people just kind of.
Do you like old stadiums?
Love them.
Like Fenway?
Oh no! The amount of stadiums that I've been to that are no longer there, you know, Mile High, all the domes, the Astrodome, the King Dome. I saw games in all of those places when I went on the road. That's what I would do. Somewhere I have like pictures from like those disposable cameras somewhere in my attic or something. I have all of these pictures of like I've been to a home game of every baseball team, every football, basically every pro sports team except for about like 8 of them. So now I've just kind of moved on to college, and I kind of got into racing too, like Formula One and MotoGP.
You've been to the Indy 500?
I've been to that a couple
of
times.
Scene, yeah.
Did you get an F1 in Austin?
I've been to that and in Montreal, but the MotoGP is where it's at. The motorcycle races, like the level of like skill and the passing that goes on in that Formula One. It's so much of it is the race to the first turn, and then the person up front is just driving through clean air, and everybody else is dealing with the turbulence because they just can't catch the Mercedes.
You're a full blown sports addict. Like you're talking about, like, yeah, you know, I went to every pro place, and then I had to do college. Now I'm onto this fucking, you know, drone racing because at least it gets a high. Yeah, you know, I get like high off this shit.
You're like a guy that starts in with like light whip play, like getting spanked a little bit with a fly swatter.
You guys
like
never been to Hialeah down in Tampa?
5 years later, she's burning your nutsack with like an Assassin's torch.
No, there's one that there's a race in Mexico City. There's a track. It goes through an old minor league baseball stadium.
That's awesome.
Okay. So that's cool. The one in Singapore is at night. That one's always cool. Italy has like one of the faster tracks. I know that. I've been to the 24 Hours of Le Mans. I've been to 3 of the 4 tennis majors.
So is your
I've been to the Masters.
Is your career?
I've been to drag racing.
Yeah. Is your career now at this point? You're just doing comedy to fund your sports addiction. Like, oh, well,
no,
I want to go and do a stand up set in fucking Sicily so that I can watch these guys race around on their go karts.
No, Italy. I want to go to the opera, and I want to bring a little hanky, and I want to see if they can make me cry. No, it's all about like just. Like doing the road was you know was really lonely and shit. So there was, but I was this huge sports fan, and I was like, oh my god, I'm fucking here. Like, let me go check out the Hubert Humphrey Homer Dome. You know, fucking Randy Moss is still playing in the Vikings. I got to go to this game. You know, I used to always watch This Week in Baseball.
Yep.
So I would try to sit in all these iconic. Like, when I went to Seattle, I used to always remember they'd hit home runs and you'd see people scurrying down that little aisle.
Yes.
So I got to do that. Ken Griffey Jr. was still playing there in center field. And it was a way to have something to look forward to other than just going back to the comedy condo, you know, and just sitting there in like loneliness. So that's how it came about. And then I think I have a little bit of like, I don't know if it's OCD, but I get like obsessed with shit. So it's just like, I'm going to go to the top ones. I'm going to go to the top 10. I'm going to go to all of them.
Right.
I'm going to fucking, you know, next thing you know, I'm trying to figure out how to go to every Formula One fucking race around the world. Trying to find a funny bone in like Kazakhstan that I could play.
I saw this new kind of racing. I don't know if it's new, but it was new to me. But it was just like a highlight clip I saw on YouTube, and it was figure eight racing. So the track is set up. So you know, you all start at the same time.
That's old school, yeah.
That's real old school shit. And by the time you know the race is half over, the cars are just all over the place, and they're like stopping because other cars are crossing in front. That's something that I would like to see. I think, in theory. But then once I started watching it, my butthole would just like clench right up, and I would get scared.
Right. I think you'd be all right. I will literally anything competitive. I've been in the Kentucky Derby. I horse racing, fucking dog racing, any of that shit. Yeah, I guess you got. Yeah, you really woke me up to that. I guess I got some sort
you
of a problem here.
Things, yeah, I was like, keep going. I love it. Do you know that on your Wikipedia page it says that one of your interests is conspiracy theories?
Well, I mean, it's not that I write that shit. But
yeah,
no,
I
was into that for a while.
What's
your favorite? But then I realized that I was becoming that person. Well, I'm not into
you're
like,
the guy being like, you know, yelling at the bar.
Do
hey,
your own research.
Do your own research. Yeah. Just look into it, guys.
Everybody
look
here
into
knows
it.
It. Yeah. Everybody
how does Aaron Rodgers keep winning these games? I'm borderline that.
No, I was into it wasn't like, you know, shapeshifters and shit like that. But I just sort of read up on sort of the banking system and like,
yeah.
Things like that, and that
just did a little light reading on the world banking system,
and that'll scare the shit out of you. And I've never gone into a bank and not brought that up with someone that works at a bank.
Wait, what is this?
Yeah, what's
explain
your
it. Line?
And then they would be like, "Yeah, man, it's kind of
explain
fun.
It. What is the banking system?
Well, I mean, it's
conspiracy.
kind of a big Ponzi scheme.
Okay,
and there's really I don't want to get into it because
they just move money around.
It's like depressing.
Do it.
Do what it gets. Well, first of all, I haven't read.
Okay, just pretend I'm a teller at the bank.
Yeah.
And you're there and you're getting $200. And I'm like, okay, here's your $200. Next customer, please. And you're like,
you got to be in a cubicle.
Yeah. Okay.
You can't hold up the line.
Banker.
You can't hold
got
up
it.
The line.
Got it. With a bowl of lollipops on your desk.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, last time I was like, you know, I was in there. I was just talking about all these luxury high-rise buildings that they're making, and I was just going like, what? I go, when's the bubble going to burst on this one that you guys are building? And he's going, come on, you know you're doing it again. This is the same thing you did with the houses, and you didn't really get punished. They gave you the houses back so you could fucking do it all over again. Now you're just doing it with these. And the guy goes, about a year and a half. Like, they know. They know. It's just
when did he say this so I can mark this down? It's about a year ago. I got to
get rid of all my high-rise properties.
No, I think it was right about now. It was due right about now. Okay. So he's a little off.
Yeah. Oof.
But no, but if you just read up on like the Federal Reserve, it's not really federal. It's a private.
Yeah. Audit the Fed.
Yeah, and all. Yeah, I kind of got into all of that stuff, and then I started having people coming up to me, you know, after shows, giving me I remember the guy did something with a $20 bill. I went, don't do that. He goes, well, you know, there's nothing behind it. It's not worth shit. It's like, well, there's the belief that it is, so don't do that because you're fucking yourself out of $20.
You knew too much.
So I kind of, you know, listen, off the air, I would talk about it. You know, some of the stuff, it's just,
you want to say the name, word Rothschild, but you're
not that, you're bringing up hacky shit.
Deep.
Yeah, okay. So what I'm doing is like Fisher Price, my first
conspiracy. Say like, I'm not into like, man, we're all fucking aliens, man.
No. You're into the real shit.
I'm into like
Monsanto.
Yeah.
Corruption and watching that guy from Tesla being like, this guy is fucking with old school blue blood money, like what is the pre-flight for his private jet?
Right.
And how scared is the guy that flies that fucking thing? I mean, I would have literally the Mossad fucking watching that thing the way they watch planes over in Israel, where it's just like they had all this problem with hijacking, and then once they locked it down, you can't get anywhere near a fucking plane over there. And like, I think that he probably hired. That's what I would do.
Yeah. Right, so you're thinking that somebody's trying to kill Elon Musk?
I think they would, yeah, that he would have a convenient accident.
I have a
I don't think that. Yeah. I would be paranoid that that's what would happen. And I don't like literally saying that on the radio.
We don't say it. But Elon Musk, we have a conspiracy theory that we're working on here, is that he is actually a beard for Jeff Bezos. Because Elon Musk is like this super rich, supposed to be, I'm solving the world's problems, I'm going to send everyone to Mars. He keeps fucking up. Like, he keeps, you know, he sent the little mini sub to the Philippines to get those kids out of the cave. And they're like, dude, this sub doesn't even work. What are you doing? So Elon Musk is like the foil. Everyone's like, oh, these guys, they'll never do anything. Meanwhile, Jeff Bezos.
The Tesla's working great.
Yeah, but Jeff Bezos is creating robots that are going to deliver packages from Amazon and spy on all of us while Elon Musk.
Oh, that's another one. Yeah. I that stupid fucking Ancestry.com. You saw that from a million miles away.
Uh-huh.
Find out, you know, the recipe of you. It's like, these fucking people, you're sending your DNA into the internet? Are you out of your fucking mind? And now they find that all they need is 3 million people to do it, and they'll be able to, for some reason, somehow
they can map out everybody.
Yeah. Map out everybody. And I believe, if I'm smart enough to realize that the world population is the biggest fucking problem out there, it's not the cars, it's not all this bullshit, there's just too many of us. There's no fucking way they're not talking about it and trying to come up with solutions.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know what it is.
Absence.
But this here is why I go to games and why I get into shit.
Yes.
Because I think about this stuff and it bums everybody out. So, it depresses me. Like, I don't want to see another report on fucking climate change or whatever we're supposed to call it now.
Climate change is correct. Yeah.
Climate change, okay? Global warming, it's not global warming. That's too scary.
No,
it's too scary to say. And it was just global warming.
I'm with you.
We're going to be on fire.
I don't like
it's a little toasty in here.
If you read that, all you think about is like, well, we're still not going to do shit about it. So what's the point?
Well, once you have a kid, you have to go in the mindset they're going to figure this out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be smarter than us.
They're going to figure this out, and I think it somehow goes through Elon Musk. And,
Jeff Bezos. Elon Musk is the idiot that is. Oh. He's a prop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a prop.
Yeah. So everyone's like, oh, look at this guy. He's a fucking idiot. They can't figure out robots. Elon Musk came and like, build a sub.
Have you seen those dog robots that slip on banana peels?
Yeah.
And always fall over. Those are the defective robots that they let us see.
Mm-hmm.
So that we're thinking, okay, we can still take these things if we get into like a war with the robots. The real ones are the ones that they don't put out press releases.
What you're talking about right now is the level that I'm at. So I'm not.
We're
nuts.
On the same level.
Yeah. So
no. And we actually do the same thing where we just only think about sports, so we don't think about these robots.
So what's your favorite sports conspiracy theory?
That the
Patriots don't cheat?
I'm not even going to address that. That's so fucking pathetic.
I mean, science says they do. Roger Goodell says it. That's good enough for me.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
this is unimpeachable character.
Not even going to address that.
Yeah, that was the biggest fucking kangaroo court fucking ever. That thing got laughed out of court. Like, the judge was mad for wasting their time. It gets reversed, and then they just changed their argument, where it was just like, is the NFL a corporation? Yes. Can a corporation suspend an employee? Yes. Is Tom Brady a employee of our corporation? Yes. Okay, then he's suspended. And then everybody who hates the Patriots goes, see, he got suspended for the stupid air in the ball. Oh, my God. You lost by like 35 points. You know why I didn't make it to the NFL? Because I was throwing regulation footballs. Mm-hmm. If I just took a cunt's hair worth of air out, it just would have gone everywhere I looked.
Yeah, that's how it
that's
works.
Why. That's how they
My
won.
My understanding of physics is that you are exactly right. What about the Red Sox using watches to communicate what the pitches are? How about that one?
I haven't heard that one. Is that the latest reason?
No, that was last year. There's like a new one every year. So I know it's tough to keep up with all the scandals in Boston sports. But they had
Do you pay attention to scandals in any other sports?
No, just Boston.
Just Boston. Okay.
I'm trying to think of my... You're starting to see through me that I have a strong dislike of winners.
I think the fact that you can't even be man enough to take off your sunglasses as you present.
Shit.
He's hiding behind the things going,
Patrick Ewing frozen envelope happened.
I've got a cornea issue. Yeah.
Well, that's because you know what that is. That's from all that hatred of fucking Boston sports.
From staring,
it's just built up in your eyeball.
Eyeball with the television screaming at it.
I think the Patrick Ewing frozen envelope happened. That one for sure.
What is that?
The 1985 draft? No, I can't remember what year the draft was. But the Knicks had the first pick.
I know it's
and David Stern. You know, back then they did the ping pong balls in the back, and then they did it was a big thing that they turned around with all the envelopes of the team's names in it, and they had the Knicks envelope in a freezer, so when David Stern reached in to pick an envelope out, he felt the coldest one, pulled it out, Knicks, Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, I mean, it is a business.
It is a business.
It's a business. I remember for years I said the NBA is fucking fixed, and everybody said it was bullshit. I remember I was in Utah at a Jazz game watching the Celtics, and I literally watched the fucking refs call it tight, let them play, call it tight. I've never, growing up, it's like, are they calling it tight, or are they letting them play?
And then Tim Donaghy happened, and you're like,
and I was finally vindicated, and they go, oh, it's just one guy.
Yeah, right.
Really?
Just one guy.
Yeah, it's always just one guy. It's always just one fucking guy.
I think Cal Ripken Jr. was sick one day. Or there was some reason he wasn't going to be able to make it in.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of his streak. Yes. And they canceled a game for weather.
Yes.
When it was like, it wasn't even raining at all. I got to check what the date was on that. But I fully buy that Bud Selig was like, hey, we got to keep our Golden Boy streak going.
Yes. That did happen.
Because he needs to save baseball.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Bill. Last question, because we got to do the SeatGeek question. Actually, I think if you might be able to get. Okay. Are you on SeatGeek? Your tickets you can buy from Madison Square Garden?
I don't know. I don't handle that part
right,
of my
so
business.
Listen, if you want to use Billy Barstool, you can get $10 off the promo code first 100 people at Ticketmaster. But I'm guessing that if you go to SeatGeek, the next 100,000, however many people want to go to Billy's show November 7th, can put in the promo code TAKE on SeatGeek and get $10 off that way. So everyone gets $10 off. Go and buy
You're
tickets.
Costing me money here, buddy.
November 7th, yes. SeatGeek.
Just giving away 100.
Hank just looked.
Gave away a fucking.
Hank just looked. You can buy tickets to Madison Square Garden November 7th. SeatGeek promo code TAKE. I wrote this down. I don't even know if you have an answer for this, but has there ever been like a moment in your career where you're like, holy fucking shit, I'm here? And like, was it maybe an actor that you met or worked with? And you're like,
of course.
Damn it. So what was that moment?
Too many. Royal Albert Hall, playing Carnegie Hall, doing Breaking Bad. When I was in Breaking Bad, and they had the clapper, and I saw that. I mean, it was my favorite show.
Right.
And it was the fourth season, and I was so emotionally invested in all the storylines, and all of a sudden, I'm fucking standing next to, like, Walter White or something. Mm-hmm. It was just...
Did you get the script before? Did you ruin it for
me? No, they would only give you like your scene.
Really?
But I would see like the rule I had, because I didn't want to know too much.
Right.
My rule was I wouldn't ask any questions, but if I was around and a scene was being shot, I would watch it because the acting was so ridiculous. Like I was there when what's his face? Walter White there. Too early in the morning here
Cranston.
For me. Bryan Cranston.
It's
yeah.
It's 1:30 in the afternoon.
I know, but I went
it's
out
It's comic time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was there when they did the crawl space scene. Mm-hmm. And what was so amazing, he was talking to me, because I guess Bryan used to do stand-up. So he was talking, he's asking all these stand-up questions. Like, okay, Bryan, we're ready for you. And then he went in and did the scene where he went from like laughing to crying to laugh, or crying, laughing, crying. I forget what, to crying again. It was fucking unbelievable. Knocked it out in like 3 takes. And then... walked offset and just picked up the conversation. And it reminded me of this NFL film I saw about Jack Ham, the legendary linebacker for the Steelers, where he was talking about real estate investment or something with somebody, and then went out on the field, made some ridiculous interception, disrupted all of their bullshit, and then came back. I was like, yeah, so anyway, what you want to do is you want to diversify, and just like yeah. picked it right up where he left off. And it's just like there's very few people like that. I got to do a movie with Al Pacino and Christopher Walken.
That's it right there.
I got to tell you something. Watching Al Pacino shoot a gun is one of the coolest fucking things. He like he had these two pistols, and it's like it's like he's throwing punches as he's shooting them. It's like visually was incredible. And then he was standing next to Walken, who's so like stoic. And, you know, and he had the high energy. It was like it was almost like a perfect comedy team. Yeah, I've had a lot of fun out there, fellas.
Bill, thank you so much. November 7th, MSG will be there too. Green Room.
Green Room.
Green Room.
Green Room.
Chatting it up.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Bill Burr was brought to you guys by Nedam. Nedam is cashmere so soft. And guess what? Nedam is making cashmere cool and affordable for guys like us. I feel like a billionaire when I'm rocking my Nedam sweater. It's a cashmere sweater, and I'm hooked on them. I got to tell you about this brand. They make it easy for guys like us to wear cashmere. It's back. It's cool again. They flipped the 1,000-year-old cashmere industry on its head by going to the source, buying direct while lowering prices and improving quality. And now, starting at only $75, you can get these super luxury cashmere hoodies and sweaters. You know what? I'm just going to say, we're still a couple months out from Christmas. This is a perfect Christmas present for a guy in your life, your brother, your boyfriend, your husband, your dad. You want to get him something warm, something that's comfortable. Get him a cashmere sweater. He'll think that you spent like $500 on him. But guess what? They start at only $75. The facts are the facts. I look like a bajillionaire when I'm wearing it. I'm basically now Axe from Axe Capital. I'm literally made of money in cashmere. The story behind the brand is nuts. They got lost in the Gobi Desert, and they realized they could buy cashmere from groups of nomadic herding tribes. Probably should have checked for water, too, instead of just buying cashmere. But you know what? These guys love cashmere that much. They came back a year later with $2.5 million in cash, 65 pounds of money, and trucked 60 tons of cashmere out of the desert to launch Nedam. We're big fans of the product. We love the brand. Use promo code PMT for 10% off your orders of $100 plus. They're doing what no other brand has been able to do before, creating an affordable $75, 100% cashmere sweater. So now bosses like us can afford to wear cashmere every day of the week. But not Hank. I don't know why that's at the end, but they told me to take a little dig at you, Hank. You ever see that episode of Seinfeld, Hank, with a cashmere sweater?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure have.
Was that yes?
Was that
George's one?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you
do know. Okay, well, get yourself a cashmere sweater from Nedam. Be like George. The interview is also brought to you by NetSuite. Has your company outgrown QuickBooks? Are shared spreadsheets, manual processes, and legacy systems costing you time and money? Well, now is the time to move your business to the cloud. Introducing NetSuite by Oracle, the business management software that handles every aspect of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform. With NetSuite, you can save time, money, and unneeded headaches by managing sales, finance, and accounting, orders, and HR instantly right from your desk or even your phone. Thousands of the best-known brands and fastest-growing companies use NetSuite to manage their business, and now it's available to you. The power of the world's most popular cloud management system is more affordable than you think. And right now, NetSuite is offering you valuable insights to overcome the obstacles that are holding you back for free. So don't miss out on unleashing your business's full potential with this free guide, Crushing the 5 Barriers to Growth. You'll learn how to acquire new customers, increase profits, and finally get real visibility into your cash flow. Get their guide, Crushing the 5 Barriers to Growth, when you go to netsuite.com/PMT. Download their free Crushing the 5 Barriers to Growth guide, netsuite.com/PMT.
All right, let's get to some segments. The first one we have, I'm very excited for. It's a
Whatever could this be about?
Well, PFT, let me tell you what it's about.
Okay, let me take my reading glasses out.
Okay, it is about the ongoing FBI investigation with Adidas and college basketball.
Oh, yeah, that was that one investigation that I think every single major college program was somehow tangentially implicated in, except for one. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so it today there was a phone conversation that was put out there. The transcript of the conversation was essentially Zion Williamson,
who you might remember is a number one recruit who
Where'd he go to school? Kansas?
Duke.
Oh, that's right.
But in his recruiting, he asked Kansas for money. So he asked Kansas for, let's see what it was. It was, he's asking for opportunities from an occupational perspective. He's asking for cash in the pocket.
Zion said this.
And he's asking for housing for him and his family.
Sounds like something a brother or cousin would
First
say.
First of all, how dare he?
Why would he be asking for occupational opportunities? Doesn't make any sense.
Wait, he's asking for a job. And for his family to have a good home.
Why it was Merle Code.
That son of a bitch.
It was Merle Code, who an Adidas guy. That was he was asking for that in, on behalf of Zion, and Zion decided not to go to Kansas for said money or whatever occupational preferences, whatever it may be, and instead decided he wanted to go get an education for free at Duke University.
Oh, interesting.
So
he selected Duke because he didn't get everything he asked for. So he just decided to stop asking for
stuff. Yeah, he didn't want the money.
He's like, you know what?
And by the way, let's just put this
It's very sad that some people out there are saying that he's just going to Duke because they gave him more of what he wanted.
Yeah.
It's very sad because can't a young person just change their mind and say, I'd rather not have money.
I'd rather play for Coach K. And let's be clear here. We are a pro player podcast in the fact that we think these kids should get whatever they want. Like, go ahead, pay them. If they want to get money behind the bat, underneath the table, that's cool too, because they have a ton of skill and they should be able to go to the NBA if they're that good at basketball. So if they have to go to college for a year, why not pay them? I'm just asking, how did Kansas not get him and Duke did?
It seems to me like Zion and his camp got wind of this investigation. They realized that if they did take money from anywhere, they're probably going to get suspended. There's going to be a lot of controversy. So they took off all the money. They took all that out of the equation and said, where do I want to go to get the best coaching possible to put myself in the best position for an NBA career? And naturally, that place was Duke.
Okay, good spin zone, Hank. I have another theory, and that's that Coach K has somehow avoided all sorts of investigations and indictments because his last name is so difficult to spell. If you're an FBI agent,
can't serve him.
And you have you have to write a 20-page report about Coach K, and you have to type out Krzyzewski probably 400 times.
Yep.
I'm saying no thank you. I'm going to investigate Bill Self.
Yeah.
That's a lot easier.
Yes, I agree. But it also should be on the record that Coach K, not specifically talking about this, but talking about the FBI investigation in general, said that college basketball is actually pretty clean.
Yeah,
as far as he knows.
So he said it's pretty clean. So, hey, guess
good
what, guys?
For me.
Case closed. Pack up your books. Pack up your briefcases. Pack up your the FBI gets guns. Mm-hmm. Even the guys who are just doing Adidas investigations. Pack it all up.
Pack up your blue windbreakers with the yellow letters on the back.
Yep, the badge you wear around your neck. Go on home, because Coach K has cleared it all up. It's actually pretty clean, guys.
You know, it'd be an awesome move.
What injury is he going to do if he starts to feel some heat?
Brain aneurysm heart, is next.
Heart,
up.
They're not feeling any heat
heart.
This year.
Ah, my heart.
Yeah.
I'm having a heart attack.
My brain. You know, it'd be awesome if some team just like came out for warmups next year wearing those FBI windbreakers.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Arizona, we're looking at you.
Yeah.
All right, next up we have, let's go with what do we say we're going to do for, a witch hunt for the Astros. So the Astros have been allegedly caught cheating.
We don't know what they were doing, but I'll put this out. They were up to no good.
Yeah, so apparently there was a guy, a very suspicious guy at Fenway Park, the beginning of the ALCS. He might have been filming something. He was asked to leave. He might be linked to the Astros organization. Do I have all these correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, and it looks
like
he
was in like a media part of the ballpark.
And
didn't have a media credential.
And he was taping something.
He got caught with a camera, and then when he was getting taken out, Astros like officials tried to persuade for him to be allowed to stay.
Hank, what do you
even
think?
Though he didn't have credentials.
Hank, interesting.
What do you think the punishment should be if a member of a professional sports organization got caught illegally filming an opposing team?
They should be taking away draft picks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I just wanted record that whatever happens with this entire scandal, and it seems pretty serious, seems like the Astros might be in a little bit of some trouble here. We need to remember
that the Cardinals hacked into the Astros database, and people forget that. Mm-hmm. And we just need to keep let's make sure we keep the focus on the Cardinals here.
Right. So really, this guy was acting on behalf of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Correct. Put him in jail.
Yeah.
All
okay. They still haven't learned their lesson.
Yes, exactly. That's all I got out of it. We have.
I mean, what could they? Let's think about it, though. What could they be doing with a camera behind the dugout?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because, like, a camera.
Third base signs?
Yeah, but then are they relaying it? I don't know.
Yeah, it said he had a camera and he was texting frequently.
Interesting. But you're not allowed to have a phone in the dugout, so.
Hit a camera, was
someone
texting
in the runner,
frequently.
A runner or something?
Is this Brett Favre?
Interesting. Ooh, nice. Little dick pic.
Yeah.
Either way, this is going to be a fun little side plot. Love all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they also had the pine tar. There's nothing better than
pine tar shit.
No, I agree. But there's nothing better than when fans figure out, like, fans have a video and they slow it down a million times and they're like, look, this is cheating. Look,
oh, I'm buying it with Porcello, by the way.
It's basically the all the people we lost in the great PGA Tour. No more self-report or no more fan reporting. Mm-hmm. They've all shifted to now just being internet sleuths where they can watch a game and be like, uh-oh.
And I'm okay with that because baseball is one of those sports where it's not cheating until you get caught.
Yeah.
Because every team cheats, yes. I'm sure. So it's up to us as fans to police the game.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we have an embrace debate because Nick Bosa, star defensive end for the Ohio State Buckeyes, has decided to withdraw from school and focus on the draft and rehab his injury that he suffered against TCU. Mm. And the embrace debate is Nick Bosa a quitter?
I'm just saying it's a black stain on the OSU program.
Wow.
It's a big indictment.
Probably the biggest scandal they've had
it
this
is.
Year.
It's huge. Yeah. I don't know how they come back from this.
This is, we were talking about this before show. This is one of those situations now where people are basically like trying to find a straw man argument here to be like Nick Bosa, like, oh, I'm sure someone will say that he's a quitter here. It's like, no, actually no one is. Actually, everyone kind of sides with him here.
I kind of think he's a quitter.
Really?
Well, so here's the thing. Part of getting ready for the draft is playing for somebody that you don't like.
Mm.
And so if you can't play for an egomaniacal, lying psychopath, why could you ever play for Dan Snyder?
Mm.
So it's like, you know, part of
Are you talking about Urban Meyer or Greg Schiano?
Urban Meyer.
Okay.
What? Excuse me? Say what you want about Greg Schiano, but he doesn't lie.
Okay,
he's
true.
Like, I'm going to run you into the ground and have you injure other players.
It's I'm surprised more players don't do it. Like, you see, I mean, Leonard Fournette did it.
He's still doing it.
He's still doing it. But guys who are going to be top draft picks, if you get injured or if you're like, hey, I don't want to play this bowl game, that's probably pretty smart. And the only thing, so I don't think, I didn't see anyone saying he's a quitter besides like maybe some diehard fans. The one thing I did notice, though, when Kelly Bryant decided to leave Clemson, people were saying he was a quitter there, and it's essentially the same thing. Like, go find a place that's best for you. Figure out what's best for you, because guess what? The college isn't going to look after you the rest of your life.
You know what it is? All we have left on the, you know, the take Smith that will, like, scream at players for doing this type of thing is Dabo Swinney.
Yeah.
We can always count on Dabo for, you know, taking that side of things. Mm-hmm. So in situations like this, just don't even bother asking anybody else. Don't ask Urban Meyer. Just ask Dabo what he thinks about Nick Bosa leaving.
Or, hey, here's what Nick Bosa could do. Just go play for Duke.
Oh, yeah.
Until the draft.
Yeah.
Well, make a lot of
money.
Okay,
here's a spin zone. Jalen Smith. So a lot of the reason why a lot of guys skip the bowl
game. Jake Butt, another one.
Is because Jalen Smith basically got his leg chopped off.
Correct.
In their bowl game, which is meaningless.
Against Ohio State.
Yes, against Ohio State. And he wasn't able to really play at all his rookie year. But if you're good enough, you actually want to get injured in that bowl game, because you don't have to play your first year in the pros. And so you're 1 year closer to your second contract.
But
no, I think it's pretty ironclad.
Okay, the draft where you get drafted is pretty important.
He still got drafted pretty high.
Yeah, I know, but getting drafted really high is very important,
because
then you get the guaranteed money. Whatever. But yeah, Jake Butt's another example. He got injured. I think he got injured again this year, but he missed his entire rookie year. So if you have a chance, why wouldn't you do it? So, but then again, the Bosa family as a family are kind of quitters. So
you think so?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean,
that?
Joey Bosa, remember he the holdout.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
I mean, they don't really respect authority, if you ask me.
Yeah, Joey's holding out into this year's.
Yeah, exactly. Let's finish up the show. We got Guys on Chicks. Hank, take it away.
Hey guys, especially Big Cat.
Hello.
My boyfriend and I met later in college, so we both had already hooked up with a number of people by the time we started dating. Now we're graduated and live in Chicago. Every weekend we're out in groups with at least four other girls he's had sex with. Never any dudes I've banged.
Damn.
Is it crazy of me to be annoyed that I can't get a break from seeing other girls he's put his penis inside of?
No.
No. A little bit.
That's a lot of chicks that like you're just casually hanging out with.
Here's the deal. It's better that you know
stuff in common, though,
that he's hooked up with all four of these chicks than if you're just hanging out with like a bunch of friends of his from college and you don't know. Okay. Because you're just going to assume that he's banged everyone. Now, you know that there are at least maybe like one or two people in the group that he hasn't had sex with.
Yeah, I'm going to say something, and I hope this doesn't break you guys up, but I don't think it's a big problem as long as he doesn't have a small penis. Because if he has a small penis, then like all the other girls are like, ah, that's a small penis guy.
Yeah, then
with.
Yeah, then you're the mark.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Like, oh, you're still with small dick?
Yeah, he got passed around like a bad nickel.
Yeah, so just ask yourself that question and then go from there. Again, I don't want to break you guys up.
I'm getting a breast reduction. I'm a 28K now. What size do I go down to?
Does that? I don't even know where K is in the alphabet.
That's what it says.
I don't understand. I'm going to start this million. With saying I do not understand how breast size works. Mm-hmm.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah, but then what about the numbers?
The numbers are the size of the nipple.
No, that's not right.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely right.
The sensitivity of
no,
the nipple.
No, it's the diameter of the areola, and if it's a 32, then you have to do pi to figure out what the circumference is.
So knowing that we don't understand how this works, I would say go to whatever makes you feel good about
yourself.
That's
such a lame answer. Here's the correct answer.
I don't really know. I don't know how the breast size
go
works.
Go to C. Because C is...
But are you sure C is pot? Like, I don't know.
C's good. C's or double C's?
A, B, C, D, no, E, I don't F, think G, double C is a thing.
H, I, J, K. Holy shit.
Yeah, you skipped...
H, I, J, K?
You skipped past a lot of letters there.
There's H's?
Yeah.
There's J's?
Triple H.
that's a great, great wrestler.
I think they should just, after D, just the next level after, like, triple D or whatever, should just be holy shit.
I knew there were E's. I didn't know there were kids.
Yeah, here's what you do. Go to a C, because a C is it's a nice size. You'll be happy, you'll be confident, and it's not going to give you back problems.
Yeah.
Sup, all you boys?
We're not boys, we're men.
So I think the guy... Oh, that's Billy. So I think the guy I used to talk to is using my Hulu account to watch Grey's Anatomy. First of all, why is he watching Grey's Anatomy? And secondly, do I log him out now or let him get balls deep into the show and then log him out?
Yeah, that's good. Let him get right before the episode where Dr. McSteamy dies.
Whoa!
I don't even know. That's a fake spoiler.
Damn.
Do you think it's him watching the show?
No, it's,
you
know what it is?
She's getting really drunk. She's getting white girl wasted.
Or he's already moved on.
No.
Think it's his new girl?
No, don't put that in her head, guys.
I mean, how many guys do
you know what happened? He moved back in with his mom. He's not doing really well. He lost his job, et cetera, and his mom's watching Grey's Anatomy. That's what you tell yourself.
Yes, 100% wait till he has like one episode left. That is hilarious.
What's the woman's equivalent of getting kicked in the balls?
Punched in the tit.
No.
I think tits are very sensitive. Well, I have a couple.
Yeah,
they are very sensitive.
You would know.
When I wear, like, the wrong, you know, like maybe an Under Armour shirt that has, you know, those new fabrics, my nipples get very, very sensitive.
I would say getting pregnant is probably the female equivalent.
Yeah. Giving birth.
Mm-hmm.
All the way to giving birth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're not like a regular easy birth. We're talking like 24 hours of labor.
Yes.
That's about the same.
We're talking feet first.
Yeah.
Have to massage, turn them around, pull them out.
Speaking of feet first... Sup, fellas, especially Salt and Pepper Cat.
Oh, I need to actually re-dye.
Yeah, you do.
I got a haircut today, so I got to re-dye.
Why do guys like girls to ride their face? Also, can guys enjoy sex if they don't even come?
Loaded question.
Yeah, very loaded question.
Loaded question.
For me personally, I would say that it's every guy's dream to be called Hoss. Hoss is like the most alpha nickname that you can have. Mm. If you get called Hoss... Then, you know, that's like a short for horse, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so guys like to feel like a horse.
So, that's why they get to ride?
Just ride.
On their face? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Why do guys like girls to ride on their face?
I think it's just because they like to say, sit on my face.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like an internet commenter thing.
Yeah.
Like, she can sit. If she's, I got a face that she can sit on.
I'd drink her bath water, and then you immediately start puking.
I'd crawl through a mile worth of broken glass for her to sit on my face for a second.
Yeah.
We're just doing the best hits.
I think a lot of guys just say sit on my face, and then when it actually happens,
they're like, "Whoa, I don't know what to do."
They're like, "This is kind of weird."
Yeah, I have no idea what to do.
What is my face doing in a vagina?
Your second question: can sex be fun if you don't come? Yes, if you love the guy,
girl.
No, the girl loves the guy.
No, the question is:
can guys enjoy sex even if they don't come?
No,
I don't. Think, I don't know. By the way,
when did that happen?
Is that possible?
Yeah.
That's what sex is a guy coming.
I don't. Yeah,
so, yeah, it's like that's a faulty logic question.
Hey, I mean, you guys are answering their questions.
Yeah, it's true. It is. Know. Yeah.
Hey, boys, especially Brock Cat.
Brock Cat, that was mean.
Hey, my husband is a former D1 athlete but has recently let himself go. Is there anything I can say without sounding like a bitch to get that athlete body back? Thanks.
Yeah, you should take out his old jersey and be like, toss it on, see how it goes, and just watch him be completely embarrassed.
Yeah.
Or hire a trainer. So let's say he played basketball. Hire someone to come over and just kick his ass in basketball. That would really get a guy to be like, fuck, I got to figure this out.
Emasculate him real proper.
Yeah, real proper.
Or you can introduce him to some old boyfriends that you might have that have really good bodies.
Yeah. Or still play sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, here's my
or
old
like
boy.
Current coworker.
Ew. But you could be like, oh, here's my old boyfriend, Giannis.
Okay, here's the real answer of what you do. You just say, hey, let's go on a diet together and get really healthy together. And then you just eat whatever the fuck that you want when you're not around him.
Yeah.
And then you just tell him that you're dieting.
You just make sure that you hit that drive-thru on the way home.
Yeah.
All right, last one. It's actually an explain it to Hank. Why do hurricanes form over the ocean but not rain, not rain salt water?
Are we sure they don't rain salt water? Because we've seen them raining fish before.
I don't understand how rain works on just a basic level. I know it's
the
like moisture.
Get overflowed and then it just leaks.
It's moisture, right? There's just enough moisture that it just starts leaking everywhere.
I think I know the real answer to this.
It's like a water balloon. Like you fill up the water balloon with water and then once it gets too full, it pops.
Okay, so yeah, exactly. That's 100% correct. So what happens is when water evaporates off an ocean, I think the salt's heavier than the water. So the water goes up fresh.
And the salt stays down
and
low.
The salt stays
and that's
down
how the
low.
Ocean stays salted.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That actually sounds perfectly like that we nailed that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why the food in Britain is so shitty, because all they do is it's raining all the time and they eat outdoors and there's just no salt going on to their food.
True. All right, that's our show. We'll see everyone Friday. Mark Schlereth, Stink, back in studio. Always fun when he comes in.
Yep.
We'll see everyone then.
Rest in peace, BVT, 1 year anniversary.
Oh,
love
yeah.
you guys.
Yeah, yeah, rest in peace, BVT, 1 year anniversary. Hank, maybe try to play a good take on me. Love you guys.
Martin had a dream. Martin had a dream. Kendrick have a dream. All my life I want money and power. Respect my mind or die from that shout. I pray my dick get big as the Eiffel Tower, so I can fuck the world for 72 hours. Goddamn, I'm feeling amazing. Damn, I'm in the matrix. My mind is living on cloud nine and this nine is never on vacation. Start up that Maserati and vroom, vroom, I'm racing. Popping pills in the lobby and I pray they don't find her naked. And I pray you niggas is aging. Shooters go after Judas. Jesus Christ, if I live life on my knees, ain't no need to do this. Park it in front of looters. Next to that church is chicken. All you pussies that loses. All my niggas is winning. Screaming all my life. I want money and power. Respect my mind or die from that shout. I pray my dick get big as the Eiffel Tower, so I can fuck the world for 72 hours. Goddamn, I got bitches. Damn, I got bitches. Damn, I got bitches. Wifey, girlfriend, and mistress. All my life I want money and power. Respect my mind or die from that shout. I got 25 lighter on my dresser. Yes, sir. Put fire to that ass. Body cast on a stretcher. And her body got that ass that a ruler couldn't measure. And it make me come fast, but I never get embarrassed. And I recognize you have what I've been wanting since that record that Adina Howard had.